reassuring thought as well, that he's never going to leave us. We never have to worry about that. And it doesn't matter. All the world might deny and say no to you, but Jesus is never going to leave you, and that's important. Would you take your Bibles and go to Psalm? Just for a moment, a little Psalm chapter 20, if you would. This is the verse that my mother texted me this morning. Psalm chapter 20. And it's a verse that you're very familiar with, verse 7. Psalm chapter 20 and verse 7, and there's a word that stood out to me. It didn't stand out when she first texted. I read it, and to tell you the truth, I didn't think a ton of it when she texted. I was pretty busy when she did. It seems to be that when my mom tries to reach out to me, I'm always busy. You know, sometimes she thinks that I'm avoiding her. I'm not. I'm pretty busy, and it seems like when she tries to get out to me. But I came back to it later, and there was a word that jumped out to me. Psalm chapter 20 and verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord, our God. I don't know that anybody trusts in a chariot today, but some people trust in some physical things. You understand what a chariot was back then to the people, you know, that the psalmist was writing about. That was their military vehicle that they drove around, and that was their, a king's army was, and his power could be determined by the amount of either chariots or horses that he had. And so if King so-and-so had a certain amount of horses, a certain amount of chariots, then he had a certain amount of security and a certain amount of victory probably as well, because he had a big army. And so the kings would trust in these elements for their safety. And here the psalmist said some do trust in these chariots. And it would be true today. Some of us trust in not chariots or horses, but we would trust in a number of things. I don't know about you, but I am more secure when there's a certain amount of money in the bank. I am a little bit more secure when I'm driving a vehicle maybe that has just been, gone through, the mechanics and everything is running properly, and I tend to trust. I don't pray as much then as I do when I know that there's potential problems, and I'm just hoping to make it to the mechanics. So we do trust in our, the mechanics that we have. We trust in our physical things. Sometimes we trust in just our job security. Maybe we've got a certain job that seems to be very secure, and we're trusting, and we're not having to worry very much because we've got that element there that we trust. And I think for every one of us, we have our safety valve, things that we have in life that we feel like we can go back on just in case. And in a sense, we're leaning upon those things, and yet God wants to be that safety for us. Now, that's not saying that you shouldn't have a separate bank account just in case, or have an emergency fund. He's not saying that you oughtn't think that way and be prudent that way, but he's saying your trust ought not be in that secure, in that second checking account or that savings account, because that savings account might not be there tomorrow, right? It really might not. But isn't it the truth that we have different securities in life with physical things? There are certain things that give us peace, whether it's that vehicle or that home or those people around us or these things. But folks, life is short and things change. We could have our security in a certain type of politic or government, and they change, don't they? And what are you going to do now? All these physical things can be taken away from us, and God wants us to put our security in Him, even a spouse. I have often thought, I love my wife. And some of you have lost a spouse. And I have sat there and I have said, I don't know if I could handle it that way if that happened to me. Now, we understand something, that God only gives us the grace we need in time of need. Honestly, that's not happened to me at this moment. And God hasn't given me the grace to go through it. So I have every reason to believe I couldn't go through it right now. But I can trust in him that he could provide for it. Anyways, all that being said is that I can have my security even with my own family and relations. I have security there. My wife is a blessing to me. She's a help to me. She's a counselor to me. She's a huge blessing. And I would admit that I have some security there with her. And the thought of not having her there is scary to me. But even then, can a spouse be taken away at any time? And my friends, I'll tell you that we cannot have our security in anything or anyone else except for God. But we will remember the name of the Lord, our God. My question to you tonight is, who's your security in? All right, go to Mark chapter 6. So that verse was given to me, and I didn't really think a whole lot about it until I got to this passage. And this came through some other studying that I was doing. Honestly, it was kind of a side thing. It was kind of a chain of, it was around about that I got to this. I wasn't really studying this passage even. I was studying something different. I think I was studying for Sunday a little bit, and I was doing some research, and I came across somebody that was talking about this, which led to a chain of events that brought me back to Psalm 20. And so you don't need to understand my thoughts, but let's go to Mark chapter 6, the Gospel of Mark in chapter 6, and verses 45 to 52. Now, this is an amazing thing that I think I recently just talked to you about a little bit. Now, remember we talked about Peter on the water? All right, now this passage in Mark doesn't talk about Peter, but it does talk about Jesus going to pray. Well, let's look at the passage. Let me go ahead and read it, and then we're gonna look at some things here. Mark chapter 6, let's look at verse 45, and straightway, make sure I'm in the right passage. Okay, Mark, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when the even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Now that's interesting. They had what was recorded of them at the end of that last phrase? What did they have? They have a heart. They had a hardened heart. What does that mean, that they had a hardened heart? Honestly, very simply, they didn't recognize Jesus for who he was. What brought about the hardened heart? Okay, now I link this to Psalm 20 and verse 7. Any connections? Do you think of anything? You might want to look at Psalm 20, verse 7 again. I know, maybe it's just in my mind. Sometimes preachers have that problem. Everything meshes perfectly, you know, when they look at it. But you don't have my mind, and so you don't understand. But is there anything that links it up? Okay. Not so much what I was thinking, but it's there. Now think about what's going on in here. Okay, time out. Let me help you a little bit. What's being said right here? Their heart was hardened, and just look back just a little bit here. What's verse 52 say? For they what? They considered not the miracle of the loaves. Now, Had this been a long time ago that the miracle of the loaves, we're talking about the feeding of the 5,000, was that a long time ago? No, in fact, if you look down at your Bibles, it's not far. In fact, it might be on the same column just up at the top of the page, depending on your Bible layout. If it's not on the same page, then you just go back one page and it's got to be there. What had they not considered? The feeding of the 5,000, how long ago had this taken place? Remember, at the beginning of the verse that he just started with, Jesus was dismissing all the people. Had he just demonstrated his power to these people, and specifically to those 12 disciples? That's really who he was demonstrating his deity, his power, his everything to. He was really, he cared about the 5,000 plus, to 10, to 15, however many were there. He cared about them, but his whole heart was really focused on those 12. He was showing those 12, this is who I am. And you need to understand that. You need to remember that. He dismisses them. He dismisses the 5,000 or however many were there. He commissions the disciples to go to Bethsaida on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. They were going to take a western trip to the other side, eastern trip, and they were going to go to the other side. And they leave. He goes up in elevation, and he's praying through the night. Gets to the fourth watch. We're talking about, the 2 or 3 in the morning to 6. And he's watching them. He's on the shore. They're out in the water. There's winds, waves. They're scared. And he says, I need to go rescue them. And he's coming. He walks on the water. And they think that they are out of their minds. They see a spirit. Who is this? He speaks to them. Be of good cheer. It's I. He gets in the boat. Everything's calm. But he looks at him and says, what? Now, obviously, they ought to have known who he was. Because Jesus, I don't think he would have put it to their account if they shouldn't have recognized him. Only I can do this kind of thing. They were sore amazed. Verse 51 says they were sore amazed. They were beyond measure and they wondered. And the reasoning is for they considered not. They had a short memory, didn't they? He really saying, disciples, I just demonstrated myself to you. And here you are on the middle of this sea in a big mess. I just made myself known to you. And in a sense, it was a little bit of a slap, saying, disciples, come on. Would you not recall to mind what I do for you? And that would help them to place their faith and trust in him. Now, I gave you all that. Do you get the connection yet? What we're talking about is remembering. Remembering what God has done for us yesterday that we were so amazed. God was so good. And yet we find ourselves going back to our horses and chariots. We find ourselves going back to our calculators and our checkbooks and our piece of paper and figuring it all out. And yet he says, haven't I demonstrated this before? I'll tell you that I'm quick to remember those days when I went to Anthony Baptist Church, when we went there and we lived in that little trailer that we couldn't, that's pretty small and we didn't know how to survive there. And we were looking for a home to buy. And I will tell you on a daily, maybe bi-daily basis, I continued to figure out what was in our bank account, what I was making, and how we could afford. I mean, I remember sitting at that desk in that trailer over and over and over, sitting there with the calculator, trying to figure out how to squeeze another $1,000 so that we could make a purchase somehow. And it never, ever worked. And I continued to go back to that. And then I still remember the day on that same road that I went on a walk, and I walked up that road, and I still remember that time that I said, Lord, the pencil, the paper, the calculator isn't doing it. God, I'm done. I said, Lord, I'm done. I give this over to you. Within 2 weeks, we had our home. And guess what? It didn't add up to the numbers that we figured. Or actually said it did add. I can't even hardly remember it, but God did miracles. God did miracles. The guy just desperately needed somebody to buy this house, and he dropped it majorly, way, 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 way down, and said, listen, just get in there. I'll take it. Now, I share that with you because it only was a matter of time that there was other things that I found myself at the desk and the calculator with my pencil. Now, I'm just using that as an illustration. It doesn't have to be finances for you. It doesn't have to be. It's all kinds of things in life. But I found myself back to in verbiage of Psalm 20 and verse 7. I was going back to what? My horses and chariots. And I would be sitting there, and there have been so many times in my life that I have been sitting there at the desk with a pencil, paper, and a calculator, or my phone, or whatever. And I have been ashamed, saying, what are you doing? You're counting up your horses and chariots again. I've already told you that I don't need them. I can do it any way that I want to. Stop trusting in them and start trusting me. And I've been ashamed. God wants us Christians to recall to mind and remember what he's done for us. Those disciples only had a few hours that Jesus demonstrated his power in front of possibly 15,000 people with a couple fish and a couple loaves of bread. And he said, if I can do that, I can do this. Why are you toiling around in life? Why are you going back to your horses? Why are you going back to your chariots? Chariots, I am here and I'm here for you. There's no need to fear. I would submit to you tonight, folks, that we must stop going to our horses and chariots, and we need to remember. There's the connection. It's remembering. All that we need to do is go back, in some cases, a few hours for what God has done. I know, and I don't know all of your circumstances, but I know because I know my good and mighty God. God has already made himself known to each and every one of you here tonight. I know it. Because that's the God that we serve. God has demonstrated himself to you. Would you remember? That's the call for tonight. Remember. Remember a God that's so good that he can make your situation that you're in right now, and he can do miracles with it. Would you trust him? The song says, only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you. He will save you now, not just for salvation, but also in your circumstance. It may be financial. It may be physical. It may be with spiritual issues. It may be with work issues. It may be with whatever kind of issues that are out there. But I want to tell you something. God is completely sovereign, and he has taken care of those things. In Jesus, we are complete, absolutely complete in him, and he has taken care of everything. No good thing would he withhold from them that would walk uprightly. Consider the theme for 2021 at Faith Bible Church, complete in him. I want to tell you something. He's complete. It's not the chariots and it's not the horses. Let's trust in him. Hard hearts, listen to this, hard hearts, come from forgetting God's previous blessings. Hard hearts come from forgetting God's previous blessings. Blessings. May the Lord help us remember. All right, let's take out our prayer sheets.